Hey everyone, here we are back once again at the Pulling on Heaven podcast. Pastor Gary Zamora, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Here we are.
Man,
how are you?
Feels like it's been forever since I last saw you.
I know, right?
It hasn't, but we won't tell people the magic of how recently we have seen each other.
Oh yeah, behind the lens. The magic of behind the lens.
Thanks so much for having me on today.
No, always. Thank you for sitting on the other side of this table.
Oh man, always.
Or I'd look really odd if they set the camera angle there
right
and
there
showed that view, and there's no one there.
There's nobody there.
We knew the guy had you know, something little upside down up there.
Well, maybe one day you'll be doing it with AI.
Yeah,
an AI will be sitting here asking you questions. But
I hope not.
But then an AI will be you also, maybe. I gosh.
Yeah, that would be kind of strange. I hope that's. I don't think. I like. Let's stick with this.
It's a much better setup.
Yes, this works better.
But I do love the everyone that comes on as the guest that you have, because it's such a great diversity of not just the body of Christ, but the body at church. And
such great people.
Yeah,
God's brought into our lives and allows us to be a part in some small way, and we're just thankful. Great people, you know. The body, PFC has we talk about this all the time. The congregation talks about how they just love the body. It's just people are, it sounds like I'm doing a commercial. I'm not. I'm just saying. Everybody.
We didn't plan this. I didn't set him up to.
It just feels good. My family and I would go home all the time and talk about just different individuals, how wonderful they are, instead of going back talking about, you know, what you dislike and you know, tearing them apart. We do. We go home all the time and say, you know, so-and-so has such a great spirit, such a great attitude, such a great heart. We have a loving body. I'm thankful for what God's given to us as a church family, you know, as a body that we get to minister to, and people like you make all the difference in the world.
Well, look, like I always say, and I gush too much about, like, the impact in my life and my family's life because of you is just amazing. And, you know, I wanted to, and what's also great, and what I think is what I enjoy so much about talking with you and getting to be on with you and everything. And I know that you feel the same way, I think we have a great banter and a great relationship with each other, but also because it's just rooted and it goes so far back.
Yeah.
And getting to kind of see my own growth through the revelation as God has taken you from this subject on your heart to this subject, to this subject, to this subject. Yeah. But then also when it comes back full circle, I have a point here. I'm going somewhere. I'm not just rambling on this. As it comes back full circle, and, you know, recently you used the great, and I thought it was really funny how you did it too, pulling your balloons out of your pocket. you used this fantastic analogy in talking about the balloons and about how one balloon being filled with air is different than the idea of having a whole bunch. Yeah. And about this concept of we think we need more of something, and God's like, you don't need more, you need to make the most of, you need to master, I think is a word that we talked about too.
Yeah.
What you have, and the idea of one balloon, and as we talk a little bit more about that, I just thought, talking about now the full circle aspect, it reminded me of this idea that you once gave me a word way back in the day. Some I'd like to say it was only 6 years ago, because that's how old I couldn't be any older than that, but it was more like 20 years ago or more. But the word you gave me, this word about, it's not about how many, it's about how mighty.
Wow.
And I think, I don't know if directly with that same word or another, but I remember also you talking about, and Bible talks about this, you know, God told David not to number
Israel.
Not to kind of measure what is might and how much that he had.
Yeah, I did.
And he did. And he ended up losing some battles because of that. Yeah. And we tend to look at, you know, how much we have, what we have, and those are the very things that God says not to. And we overlook the things that he has given us to either steward over, or the very means, as you like to talk about, through which that deliverance or whatever he wants to achieve through, he places in our hand like the staff of Moses, and we a lot of times go, well, it's not this, it's got to be something else.
Yeah, it's the volume of what you have at the present. Yeah. So I think we titled the message Mastering the Present. which means what is presently in your hand. God said to Moses, when God's sending him into Egypt to tell Pharaoh, let the people go. And that's all Pharaoh could do. He couldn't set the people free. He didn't have the power to set them free. He only had the power to let them go because God told him to. Mm-hmm. And that power originated solely from God. But God speaks to Moses at one point and he says, what do you have in your hand? He asks Moses, and Moses says, a shepherd's rod. You know, it's a staff, a stick. And a lot of times they had a little curl on the top because they'd use them to kind of pull sheep and stuff like that, because it's the shepherd's rod, shepherd's staff. And God said to Moses, because God was speaking to Moses, encouraging Moses in his power with God, and because God was with him, God says, I'm sending you. And sometimes we have the mentality, we tend to think I'm going and God's going to go along with me. No, God's sending you. And the Lord is my shepherd. He's sending me. I follow him. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. So God says to Moses, throw the staff down. And I this is in my mind, okay, that Moses is thinking, now this old shepherd's rod, God wants me to go and stand before the Pharaoh with his magnificent, mm-hmm. you know, blinged out staff, king's staff, you know, a Pharaoh's staff, and, you know, all the adornment that they had back in those days. I don't know if it's too dissimilar from what we have today in certain aspects of leadership. But so God says, throw your staff down. Moses does. And I can think in my mind that Moses may have thought, God's telling me to throw this away. You know, throw it down. I'm done. I'm finished with the shepherd's rod. He's going to give me a rod to overcome Pharaoh's. He's going to give me a more blingy rod, a more magnificent rod, a taller rod. It's going to have more jewel. You know, what would God, I'll throw this away. And we can tend to think that. God was telling Pharaoh, I'm going to do something with what is in your hand presently. And we can have the tendency to think, and again, this is in my mind, I'm just thinking how people tend to think, you know, you're going, God's sending you someplace that's really beyond in your yeah. mind, as we hear Moses saying, this is beyond me. I'm not even a man of eloquent speech. This is not really my wheelhouse. And to go in and tell the Pharaoh to let my people go, what power do I have? This ruler of Egypt and of the people of Israel, because they're exiles there, or that they've been, you know, been sent there, and they're slaves there. But we think and tend to think like that. I'm going to throw what I have down in my hand. God, give me something different. Give me something new. And what God said to Pharaoh was, after he threw it down, he didn't say, well, here's a brand new one that's, you know, it's going to outshine the Pharaoh's. What he said is, pick it up. But what Moses had to pick up wasn't what he threw down.
Yeah.
What Moses had to pick up was something he was afraid of. And that was really Pharaoh's attitude, or Moses' attitude going into Pharaoh, was he was afraid. He was concerned. Can't speak well. They're not going to hear me. What proof and power do I have? And we can think like that. God, where you're sending me, what you want me to do, what proof, what power mm-hmm. do I have to do what you've asked me to do? All I have is this one stick. All I have is this one, you know, little job. I have a small bank account. I don't have many people behind me. People disbelieve me. My life, the past, I've failed. Nothing seems to work. You can all conjure up all kinds of ideas and thoughts that can really bring you down, you know, discourage you. And Moses was discouraged at the time, and he was overwhelmed when God said, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. So God says, pick the staff up. And what the staff turned into was what Moses was afraid of, turned into a snake. And God said, now take the snake up by its tail. Well, the word says that when his staff turned into a snake, Moses jumped back. So we knew he was afraid of it. But God says, pick up your fear. What you're afraid of, I want you to take. And I want you to take what's in your hand. I turned it into something different, but not what you thought. I didn't make it seem more appealing, you know, more grand. But what I did is I made it look even more terrifying and more fearful. And I want you to take it up, because this isn't going to be based on your qualifications. You're going based on my word. I'm sending you. And God's sending you. God's sending you. Whatever God has called you to do, he's sending you. You're not going on your own volition. This is the word and the will of God. He's telling you to do what you're going to do, what he's commanded you to do. No, regardless of what it is, it can mm-hmm. be one of a million different things with,
sure.
with different people. But God wanted Moses to have confidence in his word so much so that the first thing Moses had to overcome was his own sense of insecurity, his own sense of fear. And the way he did that and the way God empowered him was to use what was in his hand, not what he didn't have, not what he would have liked to have had. God didn't say, I'm going to give you eloquent speech. God could have said that, could have done that. He said, I want you to believe that my word will be in your mouth. I want you to trust that I'm sending you. And that's God saying to us today. It's not something more than you already have that is great or abundant or really more or much. It's what you have in your hand. Mastering what is in your hand. Master the present. Whatever my hand finds to do, do it. I'm going to do it with all my might. That's what God says. And the real power in being successful in yourself, and not talking about how much or how many, successful in yourself, which means there's a sense of confidence for who you are and where you're going and what you're doing, regardless of the how many or how much, because you know you've been sent by God.
Yeah.
If God tells you to do it, you do it, and you're as successful as you can be, because the first step of success is being obedient and doing the right thing right. And that's when God says, do it, and you do it. That's doing the right thing to its full. That's mastering it and doing it right. And mastery doesn't mean you bring something to an end. It means that you understand how to do it better and better, how to continue to do it over and over and over. And again, it's referred to in the word as from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Well, you don't go from one faith to another if everything is right here.
Yeah.
This faith says, I can do it better. Now, maybe it's not even better. Maybe it's just different. But it's not what you're doing, it's why you're doing it. You're doing it by faith. You're mastering what is in your hand. You can never master the many until you master the one. You can never master the future until you master the present. You can never have the future you want until you master the present. All of your life's success will never feel successful, even if you achieve certain levels of what you may consider success, until you realize, I'm going to do what God has sent me to do. I am sent of the Lord. And that's all God was trying to get through to Moses. Moses, I'm not asking you to go and do anything based on who you are, what you have, where you've been, your education. And he was an educated man. But God said, I'm sending you by my word, and I am going to be with you. And the real abundance, we all think about, I'd like to increase, I'd like to have more. More of whatever, more business, more money, more fame, more songs out there, more. What is more? You know, there's just a lot of things, but more is volume. If you take a balloon, as I took last Sunday, I pulled out a balloon, and it was, you could say it was deflated. It really wasn't, because it had never been inflated. In order for it to be deflated, it would have to be inflated initially.
Unflated.
But unflated. There you go. It was unflated. I have to remember that.
Is that a word?
and you think about it not having any air in it, but any void, and a balloon has a void, has air. It's
sure.
Just the volume of air gives it its expanse, makes it what it was designed to be. A balloon is typically used, again, for celebrations. You know, it's kind of a celebratory item. But deflated or unflated, it doesn't look impressive. And you could have a handful. So it's kind of like when you're wanting God to give us more of what we already have in order to be successful, it's kind of like asking God to give you more non-inflated or balloons. It's more of non-flated.
Pre-flated?
Pre-flated. It's more of the same thing that you want to be different.
Yeah.
So you're not increasing your volume by mastery or by success. You're just kind of duplicating the problem. I have a balloon.
That's really
and
profound.
It's not as big as I want. You know, I have a business. I have a ministry. I have a life, a family, a relationship. It's not what I want. But instead of believing God to be the fullness, to be the volume of what you have, we want God to just give us more. We think more means more abundant, means happier, more successful. But you're just multiplying the problem by however many times more you want God to give you whatever you're asking for. Instead of saying, Lord, make me a master of what you've given me and put in my hand, whatever your hand finds to do, that one thing, be faithful over the least.
Yeah.
And I'll make you ruler over much. Jesus uses a parable, and he says a man, a lord, a king, a leader, a businessman gave to three different men different amounts. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, to one he gave one. And they were talents, it was money. And he said, go and invest and take what I've given you and make it more. So the guy that had five went out, and the word says he earned five more, came back to the businessman, his boss, and said, you gave me five, here's 10. He said, well done. You've been faithful over the least, word least, faithful over the least, I made you ruler over much. Okay. Same thing with the guy with two. So it's not how many. Came back with two, I made two more, here's four, well done. You're faithful over the least, you'll be ruler over much. You will be ruler over much. You will be ruler over much. Why? You're faithful over the least. Guy with one, I need more. Because these guys all have more. We can tend to think everybody has more than I do. They're more successful. They're younger. They're taller. They're richer. They're whatever it is. But the guy that had the one had that mentality of what I have isn't sufficient.
Yeah, it's not
and
enough.
I'm afraid to fail because I only have one. So he says, here's what you gave me in the same condition. It's like the deflated balloon. Let's sell it. Let's throw a party with a non-inflated balloon, a non-inflated balloon. You're not going to, that's not, doesn't look like a party. It looks like the end of a party, the end of celebration, really right? So did it pop or did it just never happen?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. When, if you would take the parable of the guy with the five and the two, whatever you have, fill it with the volume of your faith.
Yeah.
Whatever you can do with what you have in your hand, believe God, because until you master the one, the many don't matter. It's just the one problem multiplied by however many more you want. One multiplied by two or by four or by 10. But if you master the one, God, what you've given me is more than enough. You've given me sufficiency of all things. You've given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. To the knowledge of you who has called me to glory and virtue, you'll do exceeding abundant beyond all I know to ask or think. That exceeding is not excessive. It's not excessive things. It's realizing that whatever God has placed in your hand is abundant if you fill it with the volume of faith in His word, that what one thing is more than enough. And when you master that, God then gives you more to duplicate your success instead of asking Him to duplicate failures.
Yeah. What I love about the analogy is so great. We were talking before. It's like if you walked in and it's kind of a bunch of people in a room and no one's very excited or fun. It's like, this doesn't feel like a party. And you pull out an unflated, deflated balloon.
A balloon with no air in it.
And you just hold it there. It's not going to make anyone very interesting. Like, this doesn't make it feel any more like a party, right? Mm. So then you reach in your pocket and here's 10 non-inflated, inflated balloons. And it didn't feel not anymore, right? But if you blow up the one balloon, suddenly, you know, someone's going to batter. I mean, it feels like a party. You instantly put a balloon puts a smile on someone's face, blown up. But 10 non-blown up balloons are not going to put a smile on anyone's face.
Yeah. So $10,000 more, $10 million more dollars. That's not the answer.
No.
It's what. How faithful are you over what God has placed in your hands? That is success. Success is when you can take the one and put your all into it.
You think of music and you think of those bands that are called like one hit wonders.
Right.
Right. Like, right. And usually most people talk about one hit wonders like very derisively, you know, like, oh, they were just a one hit wonder.
Right.
However, for a lot of them, that one hit has caused them to have an amazing lifestyle and retire without having to do anything else again work-wise, whereas you got other musicians that it might, you know, they've spent their whole careers making good music and never had a single hit. It was like, oh man, if we could have only had one hit, just one hit would have changed everything. So again, it doesn't matter that you got to record a million songs if it didn't connect with people in the same way as the person who's only got the one hit.
Yeah, you know, it's so true. If you can look at the one thing and say, I mastered it. Well, what do you mean? You made it what? Better than anybody else's? No, I made it the best that I knew. I made it the best by my faith. I remained consistent, and I still to this day remain consistent. You know, if you will, I keep singing that same song, remembering that was the one that I was faithful over. That was the one that got recognition. You know, I went into, I love to tinker.
Jack of all trades,
a master of none.
Yes.
But I often I'll think about doing something, and I'll think, what can I do with today? What can I do with this one thing to get it complete, to get it done, a project? Because I like to do a jack of all trades. I just like to do different things. I like working with my hands, putting something together, building something, making something. I don't have the time to do it as much as I used to, but I do enjoy doing that. Or let's say I don't take the time. I find other things more important than tinkering sometimes, but I still enjoy it. But I learned a lesson one time because I had several different projects out on my workbenches, and I had, I don't know, a couple, two, three workbenches, and I had different projects on each one. And I would go out there and think about each project, and I couldn't make up my mind which one to do.
Yeah.
So I'd go back in the house, leave my shop, and not do anything because I was overwhelmed by too many. Yeah. Now I had a decision to make. Which one should I do? Instead of just having one project on the table, going out there and saying, I'm going to finish this, I created an issue for myself. And we do that in life.
Yeah.
We God, if we would do this and we'd do that, just a one thing. And the first thing to perfect is our confidence in who He is in us. My confidence, Lord, is today what I'm going to perfect is hitting my knees, whether I'm literally on my knees or not. I'm going to perfect coming before You first and foremost. Perfect. What do you mean? I'm going to do it the best I know, and I'm going to keep doing it. And every day, I'm going to perfect it. Every day, it's going to be complete and perfect, because perfection really is complete. And the Word says, now we are complete in Him. So when you say, I'm not perfect, well, you're actually contradicting the Word of God. The Word says, you are complete, Greek word, perfect. You are complete in Him. We just have to get us out of the way, because it's no longer I that lives, the Word says, but Christ that lives in me. Stay focused there. If you take the one thing, today I was successful. I sought God. Today I was successful. I gave Him first attention, first thing in the morning. There's so many things. I was faithful over my word. I blessed someone when I could have cursed someone. I called them blessed and when I could have called them a name because they didn't treat me correctly. They treated me badly. The power is within your hands. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. And if all you have is a word, that's still something to perfect. Master the present and you'll have the power to experience a successful future. That's the key. What God has placed in your hand, be faithful over the least, and God will make you ruler over much. And not only that, but consciously in your mind, you know, I fulfilled that one project. So I took all the projects off my table.
Did the one.
One project on the table, and guess what happened? Got it done. Whereas I've had projects sitting out on my workshop, on my workbench for years, literally, because I had several of them, and I couldn't figure out which one to do. And then you pull out another one thinking, I just saw this and I'd really like to do this. I'd like to build this, or I'd like to, and you can end up doing the same thing. Until you make up your mind, you're going to take that one thing that's in your hand, that staff that's in your hand, and say, God, you and me, in this that with this staff, this one thing, I'm going to inflate my balloon. I'm going to lift up my staff. God said to Moses, just stretch that staff over the sea. Just stretch it over the waters. And you know what God called that staff? Once Moses believed God had sent him, called him the staff of God, not the rod of Moses. Wow. And it's the staff of God in your hand when you take your faith and you say, this is what God has placed in my hand. This is my balloon. The abundance isn't how many. Abundance is the volume in that one balloon.
Yeah. Wow. And I think, you know, when it really boils down to it, if you think about it, what's the one thing that all of us are given is we're all given today? You know, and if you apply it even from that perspective, that idea, so much of the time, this is the day the Lord has made, I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And this is the greatest day of your life. Well, how can you say that? Well, this is the day that you have. And so much we think that God's, whatever it is, whether it's something we're supposed to accomplish, whether it's change our own life, we're always putting those off to another day because it can't be today because there's problems with today.
Yeah.
So I need a better day. I need a different day. I need another day. I need an additional day when that staff, that balloon, that thing that we have to fill, regardless of everything else, we all have today to fill it with something, with the faith of believing that there's purpose in what today is.
Well, how many times do people go to bed at night feeling like I didn't accomplish anything? You should never do that. You should always go to bed at night saying, I accomplished something really important. I sought God. I declared the blessing and the favor of the Lord. I was a successful worshiper today. Today, God is with me. you know, we've talked, you and I have talked a lot about this, talking about Jesus coming soon. Okay, but what about today? Soon isn't good enough for me.
No.
I don't want Jesus coming soon to be my hope. I want Christ with me, the hope of glory. However and whenever the great day of resurrection is revealed, I say, we did this together. It's not like I feel he's coming for me. I feel like he's coming with me, because he said, we're seated with him in heavenly places. It's not about soon. It's not about I'm almost there. It's about I am right where God wants me. Being faithful over the moment that you're in, mastering the present. This is the day God has made. I'll rejoice right here and right now and be glad in it. What did Jesus say? He said, don't take thought for tomorrow. Don't say tomorrow. This is the day. Master the present, and you'll be able to master the future.
Man, I don't know that there's more to be said. There's lots more to be said, but I mean, my gosh, anything more, I think at this point, risks diluting the power of what that is. And it is so true. It's such a great analogy. I encourage everyone, if you have not seen that message, I'm not exactly sure when this airs, but that was June 8th, 2025. And then also the previous Sunday, which had been June 1st, 2025, is when you talked about the balloons. And I think it's really powerful. And I think it applies on so many different levels of how God wants us to see him, what he can do, what he wants to do, how he wants us to believe and trust him for what he says is sufficient versus what we think is sufficient.
Amen. Well, so, and we're walking in faith with the word that says, I've given you all things.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I'm giving.
Yes.
He said, give in. Pray. It's the present. Tense, I've given it to you. So find what that is. It's there. Even if it's just a word in your mouth, a song in your heart, praise, encouraging someone, whatever that staff is in your hand, use that one, the one you have right now.
Great word. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.
Until next time, everyone, take care.